We'll be right back. I mean, hold.
Have a good time. And then one day, a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, our returning champion. We do this every Friday. Hails from Josephine, South Baldwin County. My state senator, Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, and glad to be back in the south end of the state after a very, very hectic week in Montgomery.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, a lot of late nights and talking to or not hearing about Senator Gudger and the kind of running point on some of this stuff, man. You earned your salaries last week for sure.
Well, certainly, and I think through the first really 3 weeks of the session, especially in the Senate, but I'll give the House some credit too. I mean, we have been cranking through some tough issues, some controversial issues, and then of course the Alabama Supreme Court, you know, kind of threw us a curveball on another one that needed really almost immediate consideration, and so there have just been a lot of members working really hard on a bunch of complicated issues. And I mean, that's really what you want out of your legislature. I'm not prepared to say that always happens, but it has certainly been going strong this first 3 weeks of this session.
Well, you're burning through some days too. I mean, was this going to haunt you later on down the road?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that these are all crucial issues that need to be considered. You know, burning through days is not always a bad thing. And I think these important, really weighty issues are up front, and we're moving them along. Sometimes when some of these more controversial issues linger, you know, the detractors organize and you see them, you know, really kind of getting in folks' ears and leading them astray from what they would normally do if they didn't have some lobbyist in their ear. And so, I think moving along and burning days and keeping your nose down is a good thing. But I will say, I think that posture will change after next week, and I won't be mad at it for changing. I think everybody, you know, once we get through these issues, we can slow down to a little bit more methodical, pensive pace.
Well, and this is me talking, and it may sound like I'm trashing the House, but I'm not. But the House process was kind of a top-down approach. They had what they wanted to do, and then they went and they kind of got members to come to their way of thinking, either, you know, whatever, by enticements or by threat. The Senate can't really do that. And like the main thing that's the difference here is why this seems to be more of a bottom up approach, and you're not going to have a heavy handed Greg Reed, for example, telling you, hey, you better vote on this or else. And that's why you're going to get potentially a totally different bill from what the House has passed.
Well, look, I think your analysis of that is spot on, and that's a difference between the chambers, but it's also a difference in leadership styles. I mean, that's just, you know, the difference between how the speaker and the pro tem work. Senator Reed, I think, is sees himself as more of a facilitator for the Senate, certainly a leader. Don't misunderstand me, but he wants to facilitate the body working together as we have been doing. And he understands that he's got some really hard-headed, you know, senators who have their own opinions, who are going to represent their districts well, who are going to engage and read and study and collaborate and talk and discuss and debate, either in public or not, and that those conversations yield a better project and product. And so we've been working through that. I mean, just exhaustingly working through that back and forth and back and forth. And so, you know, that's what the deliberative body is supposed to do, and that's what we're doing. A little bit different in the House, and I'm not going to get into their mechanics. It's just different.
And to be fair, I mean, 105 members is a lot more difficult probably to deal with than 35. But the chambers lend themselves to two different approaches on something big like this. Senator, if you were being forced to do something, I think maybe you could get that with, like, economic incentives or you know, just earmarking something or whatever, changes to a law. But something this big, this is going to change the state. It's always Clyde Chambliss who's like, look, we do gambling. I mean, it's going to change the state for generations. This is significant that you really want. It's a desirable for people to kind of vote their conscience on something like this, not because they're going to get a committee assignment or threats of a primary challenge or something.
Well, and you're right, and that's just not the pro tem that's not the pro tem's leadership style. It's not something that would sit well with the members, and so this is something we're going to take our time with. We're going to look at. We're going to pay attention to, and we're going to make very conscious decisions about them. But no, I have never in the Senate, even when Senator Marsh was the pro tem previously, have I been told you have to vote for this. You must vote for this. If you don't vote for this, then, you're not going to get X, Y, or Z. The governor did that with the gas tax, but I don't know that that really impacted members at all. I think members still did what they thought was best. It may have worked for her in the House, but I don't think it had very much of any weight in the Senate.
Well, I mean, no one lost their A-trip to a board, a membership that day. I don't remember.
That was for me doing something else. It wasn't for that vote.
I'm just joking. Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Tell me about the IVF situation.
Look, this is a decision that was kind of forced on us by the Alabama Supreme Court based on a statute written back in the late 1800s. It is only reasonable to expect that we will have to update century-old statutes every once in a while and that they may be a little out of date. It's important to note this was a civil decision based on the civil filing and not anything that is contained in the criminal code. I think that the left has hugely overblown the impact of this, and frankly, I think hospitals and their folks have as well to score some political points. But that's the nature of it. I will tell you and everybody else, we have two pieces of legislation, one that has moved through the House, one that has moved through the Senate, that deals with the liability concerns surrounding IVF. Each one or the other or both of those pieces of legislation will be passed by the other body, either the Senate or the House, next week, and will immediately be signed into law by the governor. And when you and I talk Friday of next week, this issue will be moot.
Well, kind of looking at that court decision, I mean, what was your initial reaction to it, Senator? Because just talking to some of your colleagues around the State House this week, I mean, they're not particularly thrilled with what the Supreme Court has done here, especially Jay Mitchell, the majority opinion. I mean, do you have any opinion on the decision itself?
I think it's timing is interesting. I will say they're both good things and bad things about it. One of them, the good thing obviously is that we're in session and can address this issue. This would have been a horrible decision to come out in June and have to wait months and months and months to deal with. But the mechanics of the decision, listen, these jurists are well respected. I don't always agree with them, but I respect their intellect and I respect, where they're coming from. Would I have made the same decision? No, but I'm a general contractor and small time developer, not a respected jurist. So, I understand where they're coming from. I understand that oftentimes they have to get very far into the weeds, including statutes that date back to the late 1800s, in order to make decisions. And so I'm going to respect their decision of where they're coming from. But I get to make the law. And so to the extent that they're relying on the law as it relates to, immunity or lack thereof, I can change that. And so that's what my colleagues and I are doing, is respecting their opinion and saying, fine, if that's what you thought the law said, let us clarify it for you. And we'll do that by the end of next week.
Senator, then I guess kind of moving on to other things here. Gambling and IVF have taken out of a lot of the oxygen in the room, but you guys, and tell me this is right, you kind of got like a 2-week head start on everything except for gambling on the House, and I guess at some point will we see the, I mean, how do you feel about some of these bills you've gotten out of the Senate making their way through the House? Does it seem like that's going to come sooner rather than later. Any update on that?
Yeah, I mean, we did push a lot of legislation through early while the House was considering the gambling legislation. And so you saw my library board bill, the Archives and History board bill, and some others that have gone ahead and moved out of the Senate down into the House and have worked their ways through committees already and are really ready for floor action. So that's pretty good 3 weeks in to be sitting in that situation. And so that's moving right along. I haven't been thrilled with what House committees have done to some of that legislation, and that's a different conversation. But those pieces of legislation are moving nonetheless. And when, you know, you're a third of the way through the session, it's good to have had a number of pieces of legislation out of your body already and down being considered in committee or out of committee in the second chamber.
How fast do you anticipate upstairs the school choice stuff to go?
Quickly. It would not surprise me if we have a solution on that out of the chamber next week as well. It'll be a busy week again next week, but most of those pieces of legislation have worked their way, again, like Representative Garrett's and Representative Orr's legislation, you know, has been vetted, tweaked, and it's ready to go. I don't see a need to slow that down. And so I think it'll move very quickly next week. I also think we'll move forward with gambling legislation next week as well, after, you know, several weeks of kind of hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth about it.
Well, and let's talk about this. Besides school choice and some of these other bills, and then I guess I would throw in the IVF's fix. I mean, I don't anticipate gambling to get done very fast, but what else do you have left going here? What else do you have? The budgets, maybe ethics, or what else is left?
Yeah, I have a very large piece of legislation that I intend to drop on Tuesday. That deals with reform and consolidation of the administrative functions of all of these occupational licensing boards in the state. And so it will be a behemoth piece of legislation that I've been working on for well over a year and a half. And don't hold on to your hats, in concert with the governor's office and her legal team. So we're pulling on the same oar. It's surprising everyone.
I knew I was hearing like some kind of harmonious tunes coming out of the windows there at the Capitol. I just didn't know it was you and the governor's office really putting that on there.
There are pigs flying in Montgomery, but anyway, we're working well together on that. It's a good government piece of legislation, but don't be surprised if it's a 400 page piece of legislation. It's a big deal to try to streamline government and get rid of so much of this top heavy waste and administrative bureaucracy that is just killing entrepreneurialism. And so we're trying hard to get government out of the way of small businesses. So that's a huge piece of legislation, and I'm happy to have the governor's support on it and work with her and her team on it. And we're gonna pass it this session.
State health officer, is there any outlook on that changing this year?
Yeah, I think there's some competing versions of those bills that we really need to work out the differences on. But, you know, we still got time. You know, we're only a third of the way here through and still have time to deal with those. Both are reasonable pieces of legislation. I just think members are going to have to coalesce around one or the other and then head in that direction. And so we'll let those conversations continue to happen probably for the next week or so while we deal with the stuff we've already talked about. And then there's going to be time to get to getting on that one as well. But the good news is I think we're going to have a solution one way or the other on state health officer, and it won't end up being one of those things that's just mired in disagreement that has happened in years past. So when you look at the scorecard at the end of this session and, hey, what did we get done? What have we worked through, especially as it pertains to conservative issues in a conservative state like Alabama and in a really conservative district like mine, I'm going to be pretty pleased.
Well, and the state health officer in the past, the Senate, and I mean, I guess you try to do it through the health committees. You have Paul Lee downstairs, and you've got Senator Melson. And my impression here, this is me speaking, very deferential to these boards, to people with the MD behind their name. Is the right approach maybe to go through like state government and approach it from the, you know, that this is a state government function rather than a health function to get that changed?
Well, one thing I've seen is a marked change, in my opinion, of the attitudes of the legislature, right? Yes, we're going to give a lot of deference to the MDs. We should. I mean, they know what they're talking about, and we're lucky to have MDs in our midst, right? Doctors, when we're talking about IVF, to be able to have Senator Nelson and Senator Stutz, both of who are MDs, and know what the heck they're talking about. They're a huge advantage, right? Pay some, you know, respect and give some respect and to those folks. But at the same time, make sure that doesn't translate necessarily to the bureaucracy or the association or whatever else. And so I think the approach that I'm seeing folks coalesce around is more respect for the doctor, yes, but not necessarily for the association or the board or the bureaucracy that is running those things. And so I'm confident we'll move forward with that legislation.
Well, lastly, and you know, this was kind of talked about and you know, I've only spent a few days up there watching you guys in the Senate, but it does seem like you're not having to quote unquote run over some Democrats early on here, maybe just a few times, but maybe not as much as it may have seemed just coming out of the last session.
Well, I don't, you know, want this to sound like a Senator Gregory fan club here, but I'm telling you, I've been really impressed with the way he has run that body. So it's important to note, you know, the pro tem runs the whole Senate, majority and minority. He happens to be a Republican, and there's a super majority of Republicans in the Senate, but he works very well with the other side of the aisle, and we have to, based on the Senate rules. You know, there are powers and abilities that senators have that House members simply don't have. We have unlimited debate on effectively on a number of different items, and any one member can slow the Senate to a crawl or even just stop it if they want to. And so you have to work well with your members. And while we have huge policy differences that are insurmountable, and that they are going to vote against, we have a level of respect for each other and where the other is coming from, that we're able to debate those issues, talk about amendments on those issues, and then vote on those issues, where the Democrats come out on the losing end, but they've said their piece, they've been heard, and we've listened respectfully, we've disagreed, and we've outvoted them. But that is the way the Senate does things. And that yields, I think, results that do not devolve into chaos and help things continue to move. And again, Senator Reed gets a lot of credit for managing those relationships.
Senator, we appreciate it. We will do this again next week post-election, but look forward to hearing from you then. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good. Everybody, please go vote on Tuesday. Especially that District 1 and District 2 seats are so important.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Mr. The whole world called me Hank. He said, replicate.